We are on air. And now we are on air on StreamYard 2. It's just coming up. Here we are, live broadcast. And welcome to the Car, Sim and Race Driver Show with me, Hugh Hattrick, and my very special guest, Andrew Marr. Hello, Andrew. On Podbean as well. Fantastic. Excellent. Oh, that's great. That's super. So everyone should be able to hear us on both, hopefully. Wherever you are in the world, you're listening to the Car, Sim and Race Driver Show. Thank you for joining with us. And we are live streaming on Podbean and also on StreamYard, which is going on to YouTube as well. And there's been so much going on in F1 this week. We've got lots of interesting topics to talk about, and we've got a very, very special new affiliate. Have a guess, Andrew, what our new affiliate is. Well, if they would give us money, that would be amazing. We could siphon off even a couple of percent would be all right, but it's not. No, the simtrack.co.uk, which is a fantastic place and definitely one we recommend. No, this is for all racing drivers or anyone as well who likes gaming, whether it be on PlayStation, on Xbox, on PC, and all those kind of gaming platforms. We have a new affiliate with cdkeys.com. Now, you can see it in our comments here. It should be coming up on YouTube, and I've also put it on our one here. It should be there. Well, let me just double check. Actually, it probably isn't there. I will put it on there right now. So we can, I put the wrong one on. I've just put your email up there by accident.
Yes, I've just noticed that.
I know if I can take that away. It shows you.
20,000 million.
There we are. I will quickly cdkeys.com/MW. Yes, it is a very, very good offer that we have. Because for all of you who like to play PlayStation games, you can get 12 months PlayStation Plus for just £36. It should normally be nearly £50. And they do phenomenal deals on everything, on all kind of games and all your kind of needs there. So it's definitely well worth a click. And you can help support the show in the process.
Excellent.
So there we are. That should be it there. I've just put it down there. So hopefully that should work. If it doesn't, go onto YouTube and I'll make sure it's in the description. So there you have it. But I will check the comments, because what was very funny last week, and it was a bit of an accident, the comments section had been a little bit quiet at the start of the show when it was Andrew Dixon. And we were kind of getting carried away watching on YouTube and doing all our stuff there, and we forgot to check the comments towards the latter part of the show. And to our amazement, we looked on and there were all these comments, and they were some clean, some not so clean, who were kind of saying, please respond to the comments. So we're very, very sorry. We do apologize. We completely forgot to check them. And by the time we did, it was the end of the show. So our apologies go out to you. We'll make sure that we check the comments right the way through and try do our best to respond to them. Well, what an incredible week for Formula One. Lots of teams have been launching their new cars. We've had Ferrari on Tuesday. We had Mercedes revealing their livery on Monday. And we've had Red Bull also revealing their car yesterday, and it was a shakedown at Silverstone.
That's right.
Did you happen to see the one at the Ferrari one on Tuesday night?
I did watch that, and I listened to some of the comments before I fell asleep. I find that the launch is a little bit... It's interesting, I was reading today that Renault have refused to do a launch. They've done a few...
That's right, some pictures, haven't they?
Pictures and a couple of little snippets of interviews on social media, because they, and I quote, F1 car launches, they are fake. And this is Cyril Abiteboul, who I've decided I love. I've seen him on the telly, obviously, and I quite like him anyway, but he's the managing director of Renault F1. Oh. And he's the response of the public is sort of, because all you do is you get this car coming out.
It says there's a very small picture of it and a kind of outline.
So they've kind of gone, well, we're not doing it. You'll but, see the car when it's on the track.
Because testing is this next week. Not too long at all. It's over in Barcelona. It should be quite good.
Seeing how that's been. So it's interesting that Verstappen and Christian Horner like the car after that shakedown, having a go in it.
Second year with Honda. I have to admit, going on to the Ferrari launch, it was hilarious. I mean, you know, you've got to trust the Italians that they really have lots of classical music and a big build-up, and then they have some people coming on doing some acrobatics at the same time. And it is very funny. It just reminds me, it's almost like the Eurovision of motor racing. It's like, here comes Romania, you know, coming in doing something like that, so nobody quite understands, and you're left wondering. And it's no offense to anyone in Romania, but it's going to be some kind of cheesy. And it never quite works. And I always
something.
Think the Formula One launches are kind of similar to that, is that they never quite work. The Ruzio looks slightly ridiculous. And then the thing is, they had some chap who was speaking from the Ferrari, and he was the most boring man you could ever listen to. And they had
why I don't like to watch them, because it is boring. And
I mean, wonder.
The bits I saw were the comments by the drivers, which were, you know, again, it's all very.
It's very, it's the same. It's all business speak.
You know where, yeah, I want them to swear. I want Verstappen, not Verstappen, but.
You were like James Hunt to be smoking a cigarette in the background. And with his,
I want him to get beeped out and look at everyone and go, "No, you are like you, all of you." That's what I want. It's what we all want, because they're just normally. I want anyone to do that. It's like listening to a politician. You're just like, who? What? What are you lying about now? So you know, it's But so today was the McLaren, the MCL 35.
Looks nice, I have to say. It does look rather nice.
I mean, that's got some nice little bits of blue to break up that hideous orange.
Yeah, so, of course, the hideous orange was its original colour, wasn't it?
It was but hideous. I think it was hideous before.
For people of your that share the same age as you and I, who followed the Formula One in the 90s and things like that, who've kind of grown through that era, we kind of go back to the kind of, we want the white and red Marlboro classic, the Ayrton Senna, you know, that McLaren, that red and white is kind of what we remember. And also with Prost and at that time, and it was Prost and Mansell and the whole lot driving in those years, the Prost and Senna in 88 and so on. That's kind of the era that I think we kind of sit with. I'm not sure the orange is, I mean, yes, it's very modern, and it also harks back to the original design of it. Was it Jack? What was the name of the chap? Who was it?
Bruce.
Was it Brabham? Yeah, Bruce McLaren, who was the original designer and brought up the orange colours. But certainly I prefer the white and red. Even the silver, even when the McLaren was the McLaren Mercedes, was a bit better. I think really it was a nice kind of nicer colour.
They looked really nice in those days, I thought. Big McLaren fan back in the day. So
yes, even when they had Peugeot engines. Remember when they had, it was Peugeot.
That was right. That was when I was first coming. That was a disaster.
94, 95, weren't they?
That was a disaster. This really shouldn't have happened. And then they got the Merc engines and things all changed.
Yes, they were a lot better.
Though, of course, they weren't Mercedes engines. They were Ilmor, weren't they? They were British engines. Not German at all. Very powerful. Very powerful engines. And then they changed the rules on whether you could use barium, I think it was.
Yeah.
Barium or boron in the alloy. And they did. So the engine, it couldn't rev as high. It couldn't. It wasn't as strong for the weight. And they lost a bit of an edge there. But it always made pretty good engine. So Mercedes bought Ilmor Engineering when Ilmor, I can't remember his first name, died. Mm-hmm. One of the co-founders of the company.
Oh, so yes.
That's now part of AMG, but it's still based in Britain. It's still a British company.
Yeah.
English company.
That's all right. We're fully national along up here. I mean, it's all part of Great Britain. But now our big question tonight.
You're from the Bodders. You're not the Scottish nor English, are you?
Yes. We were the biggest vote for the union. We were the biggest vote for the union in that referendum all those years ago. So moving on from that. Our big question for tonight is, what circuit would you like to see back on the calendar to replace China? Now, this was kind of a question we asked a little bit last week, but unfortunately didn't see all our answers. So for all you lovely listeners and viewers who are watching just now and listening just now, what circuit would you like to see replacing China? Because it looks like I don't think they're going to be able to replace it. I don't think they're going to be able to put it at another time. It's going to cause too much.
Vietnam's looking a bit dodgy as well because that's next door.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, I hadn't thought about that.
They've had possible coronavirus
They've had some cases of it. Yeah. But so, they'll have to be careful. Yeah. But you suggested a track.
I did.
The other day. And I thought, actually, you're spot on. Definitely. I would go with that one. Have a guess. Have a guess to our listeners. What could it be? It was on the calendar about 10 years ago.
It was.
And Sebastian Vettel and Mark Webber had a very big coming together at that track.
And we can give them a little clue to people who know famous corners. Which says a famous
corner. Yes. Is that now? Is it the turn 5?
No.
No, turn 9?
Down one.
Turn 8. That's right, because it was on the four.
Double
Apex, four corners, wasn't
super
it?
Yeah. Fast corner that everybody loved because it was such a challenge. The idea that you went in and went, I hope this works. You know, and it's the double apex as well. So you can ace the first apex, but you've got to get everything perfect so that you don't go off the track in the middle. But you still then ace the second apex when it's unseen, it's blind, you can't see it. And it's fast. It's what's the other massively fast, stupid corner? 130R.
Oh, Rouge. Oh, you went 130R, yeah.
Well, Rouge. That's something else, though, isn't it? But I'm in a kind of a sweeping, going fast and hope for the best. Whereas Rouge, it's, I suppose it is a similar kind of thing. You're bottoming out, you go as fast as you can. But these days, because there have been some kind of complaints that the cars are so sticky now, so good, that they go through Eau Rouge flat, which is why it's such a shock when the likes of that young lad died last year, because, you know, Eau Rouge bit him.
I think that was a lot of complications, because I think one or two cars in front had issues, and that's what caused the reaction and so on, and all the online. It was a horrendous occasion. But for those who are listening and watching, have you guessed the track? It is, of course, Turkey. That's right. It was the Turkish Grand Prix, and that's where Mark Webber and Sebastian Vettel had that huge coming together. But I think that would be a great circuit, actually, wouldn't it? That would be really good.
Turkey. And Turkey, you know, is a lovely country. Whatever problems it's got and whatever politics go on there, it's a lovely place to go.
Yeah.
And
it'd be I think it's fairly stable.
Like Baku, you know, it's such an exotic location.
Yeah,
in that part of sort of the border between east and west, you know.
Aye.
Wow, I'd love to go there. I'd love to experience. And the weather's always going to be good there, isn't it? It's not going to get rain or anything.
Yeah, I don't think that. Imagine a wet Baku GP. That would be incredible. Because I mean, you wouldn't be able to see anything. Because you got all they go up and down, you know, quite a bit at that track, and that bit where it goes round the castle. It's so tight. There's actually room for one car only. And they've crashed a couple of times last year.
Well,
a few people
did as well. Didn't they? They've all had a go. A few people. All the best ones.
Aye, because it's so tight and it gets narrower and narrower, and then they have to turn left to go up the kind of chicane, and it always looks spectacular. And a few of them missed it and went into the wall. Thankfully, they were at quite slow speed, so it's not too bad. But
super fast. It ruins their race because they always lose the front wheel, don't they? It's never just a bit of a tap and off you go. It's oops.
And they'll lose the front wing as well and things like that. And that could be a great one. So Turkey would definitely be one. And I was thinking, how about the Nürburgring GP? You know, which is obviously they've used Hockenheim for the last few years, but that lost its contract at the end of last year. Okay. So I was thinking that would be quite an interesting one, because the Nürburgring GP, that was always quite a good Formula One circuit. And the thing is, the German government spent hundreds and hundreds of millions. It was a big scandal about it. They spent all this money on it and then it never got used. But now they put the big simulator conferences on there. There was a big sim conference last year. And I really wanted to go. I'm not sure if it's in the same place this year or not. Perhaps our listeners might know if that is the case. It'd be great to know. And it was spectacular. They made like, it's like a kind of a motor show type thing. So you've got this indoor conference hall, which has all the like Bentley and all these amazing manufacturers and things. And then they have a big arena to put on their F1 esports and all that kind of stuff. And then they had all the simulator rigs and all the people who sell them and build them in another room, a huge big hall. And it looks fantastic. So I think that's FIA approved still. I think I'm right in thinking that...
well, yeah, because it was modernised to the standard of a modern F1 circuit, wasn't it? Because a lot of people talk about things like Brands Hatch and that kind of thing and Donington. But yeah. they can't be used because they don't have the runoff areas and they don't have the facilities that modern F1 demands. So to do that, you'd have to completely remodel the whole of these brilliant historic circuits. Whereas, as you say, the Nürburgring, the new ring, it's up to spec, isn't it?
And quite often you get
it was last year.
You get bad weather there. Quite often you get terrible weather. And there was one when Hamilton went out and then he crashed in qualifying. He's had some quite big, but he is, I mean, it'd be interesting if he gets a good run there. It would be a great race. He's got that horrendous first corner that's off camber and it causes all sorts of issues. But I know, I think that would be a great race. Other than that, I'm not sure. I mean, unless you had, imagine if you could have two Italian Grand Prix. I'm sure the Italians would quite like that at Monza. Twice, that would be quite... but I think they should have
two Italian Grand Prix, didn't they?
With Imola.
The San Marino Grand Prix and the Italian Grand Prix. And, you know, one was at Imola and one was at Monza. So,
that's the thing.
Do it again.
Now, to all our viewers and listeners, I am carefully watching the comments here in case I've missed anything. So remember, you can comment here on Podbean if you're listening live via the app, or you can go onto YouTube and you can comment there as well. And we should see it on StreamYard, as that's the platform that we're streaming it all from. But it is live on YouTube as well. So let us know your comments. Now, at the moment, my website, hughhattrick.com, is just being changed. It's being updated. So over the next couple of weeks, we will see some new, it'll be completely redone and it will be brand new and it will have lots of great offers and it will look spectacular. That's what I've been promised. So that will, at the moment, if you want to email us, the best one to do is podcast@cardealadvisor.co.uk, which is our old email address, but we will check that as well. If you have any hints or clues or any questions at all about the show or things you would like us to talk about, that's the email to email us on. So back to Formula One. Over to you, Andrew.
Well, we also like to have a little chat about Fernando Alonso, don't we?
And
he's got this goal. I can't think of the word there for a second. This is good, isn't it? English. he's got this goal of doing the Triple Crown, hasn't he? Of winning Le Mans because he's won Monaco and winning the Indy 500. The problem is it, as you alluded to the last time we had our little conversation, he came out with a few comments about the Honda engine, did he not?
Like, that's right.
GP2 engine. Yeah. And that specific comment has scuppered his chance of being in this year's Indy 500 because there's two engine manufacturers in the Indy 500, Chevrolet and Honda. And Honda have said, well, you're not going to be in driving for any team we power. So that's left him with Chevrolet. And basically everyone said no.
Goodness.
Don't want him.
Yeah.
Or so far. So that's not going to help. And what's the point of him even joining it if he's not going to be in a team that's capable of winning?
Yeah.
Because he wants to win it. He doesn't want to just go round and round there like he did in Formula One for his last couple of three, four years.
I still think he's looking to come back to Formula One, though.
He
I think it's unfinished
2021.
Business.
He said that he had offers for 2020, but he turned them all down because he didn't want to come back yet.
All right.
But he wants to come back in 2021. So that's great.
I think he can do it. I think he's fit enough and talented enough to be right up there.
Well, he's kept driving, hasn't he? He's done Le Mans. He's done, you know, he's not retired like Schumacher retired.
To come back.
He's come out of F1 but carried on driving at top level sport. So, yeah, absolutely. I don't know where he'd go. Who'd have him? Ferrari won't have him again.
Yes, I wonder if Mercedes, unless Bottas was to go, I don't know, but I think that might be just too much of a clash. Unless it was Red Bull, if he went next to Verstappen and Alonso, that would be quite interesting, wouldn't it?
I mean, that was about Honda last year, wasn't it? But there was a lot of talk about Alonso going to Red Bull, but it's the same old problem. It's the same old. You know, Christian Horner's not a fool. Toto Wolff's not a fool. They know that they've got their star and they've got the championship winning package, car and driver in Max Verstappen and in Lewis Hamilton. And all, you know, the Mercedes have got the advantage. They've got a fairly decent backup driver, you know, Bottas. Yeah. Bottas 3.0 as he is now. He was 2.0 last year. And I've got to see the photograph. Apparently that it was on Planet F1 and on Twitter. They've done as I guess as a gag, because when he was 2.0, he came back with a beard and was eating porridge. Apparently, porridge was the power thing. And now he's eating more porridge, more coffee, and his beard is like a foot long. So,
oh yes, I saw that. He looked like something out of Vikings.
Yeah, so this is Bottas 3.0 that's going to win.
I don't know if it'll work. If he's going to wear a helmet and then a balaclava and all that beard, I'm not sure.
I don't think that it may not be his real beard. That's quite long to grow since.
Yeah, they might have to shave that one off or get rid of that. That's maybe a fake.
Stuck on. I think they've got a makeup artist to help out there, perhaps. You know.
But no, it's good. It's going to be interesting. I think it could be a great year. The last year of the current regulations. So I think it's going to be really quite interesting to see how they get on. The testing, you never quite know, because I think they do sandbag a little bit. And others go underweight, like Williams. Williams will have nothing in that car.
Have you heard anything about the Williams team? Because I've not. I mean,
all I've heard is that they're desperate to do better.
It's Williams. They're going to be. So whatever you can say about Claire and whatever you can say about Sir Frank. Competitiveness isn't something they're lacking. I don't think Claire sits there going, "Yeah, it's nice at the back."
It must be
to work for it would be quite strict and stringent, you know.
Now we've got our first comment of the night from Ant Salamino. He said the beard is for aerodynamic purposes.
Thank you, Ant.
Yes,
my beard or Bottas?
I don't know. Does your beard make you drive faster? That's a
Not at the moment, but when I get a car again, it will.
Yeah,
this is for when I get. I follow Jason Momoa on Instagram because he's mad, and he loves his motorbikes, and he's got a lot of hair, and doesn't wear a helmet because he's nuts and American. And the latest thing I saw was him and a bunch of nutters friends doing ice racing on Harley Davidsons with chunky knobbly tires, and I don't mean like off road Harley Davidsons, just Harley Davidson. Yeah. And they're doing all the stuff like you do on Speedway, but they're on snow and ice. So I reckon it's the beard that helps him do that.
Yeah. He looks like somebody you certainly wouldn't mess with, isn't it? He's certainly
6'4". He's a big lad.
He was Aquaman, wasn't he? He was Aquaman.
And Conan the Barbarian.
They're both.
Ant's just said both.
Yeah. Well, I was in the middle of watching a film, actually. He was just in the Braven, which is quite good. I don't know when it was out, but it was on Amazon. And they go out to the woods, up into the hills. He lives in America, and his father has dementia, so he goes up to the woods to this cabin to try and help him get a bit of time alone, kind of thing. And then all these dodgy drug dealers have left drugs in his house and so on. And so I hadn't quite finished the movie. I'll be seeing it maybe tomorrow at some point, finishing it off. But no, he's good. He's a good actor. But now I wanted to quickly say, because some of our viewers and listeners, I've been studying the statistics of our podcast show and video show. And would you believe that the biggest number of followers and viewers are American? So we have the biggest viewership is from America. I think something like 40% are from America. And then on about 30% is from Britain. From the UK, so our fellow Brits are in hot pursuit in second place. So to all of our viewers all around the world, we've got them from Norway, from Sweden, and we had one, believe it or not, from India as well. So wherever you are in the world watching this or listening, thank you so much. It's great to have you with us. We hope that you're enjoying the show. If it's the first time to the Car Sim and Race Driver Show, this is I'm Hugh Hattrick, and that is Andrew Marr. And we have a couple of other hosts, Andrew Dixon and also Jonathan Sutherland, who join us every so often as well. Andrew normally does every second week, just like what you do as well, Andrew. But how could you describe our show for a first-time listener or viewer?
This is where an idiot like me gets the opportunity to be a fool in public and talk about our favourite subject.
Exactly.
So Formula One.
Exactly. Formula One enthusiasts.
Enthusiasts and grumpy old men. Really, that's the point, isn't it? There's too many young people talking now. We need some old people, to really talk nonsense and laugh a lot.
And that's what we do. I always remember we went to Knockhill about 2 or 3 years ago, and they had the Formula, I think it was the Formula 3 championship that we're racing there. And all the drivers are, they're about 15 or something, and they look absolutely like they're still at school or still at primary. And I went there with Jonathan, and he was so jealous. It was hilarious because Jonathan has done a racing license and has got an out there. And they were having all these press conferences with the drivers, and I jokingly said to Jonathan, look, I'll get you a picture with them all, and they'll sign it for you and say, you can join the seniors team, you know. And he was not impressed, and he said, don't you dare get me that for my Christmas or my birthday. So I've always threatened him, though, that I might just get that one, yeah.
As a big old man, you'd get in a car like that and you'd be absolutely destroyed by all these 13-year-olds because they're so much faster than we are.
Well, they're so light. That's the thing. They're so thin. Well, you look at racing drivers now, they don't have any weight on them at all. It's quite a thing, isn't it?
But I'm the same height as Mark Webber. They're both 6'2".
All right.
I remember when, I mean, he's about as tall as you can get in a car. I think the tallest they had was Justin Wilson, who died in America.
That's right. Yeah.
Justin, I think Palmer was his manager, and they did this crowdfunding to get him into Formula One. And he was in the Minardi.
Yeah.
But the biggest problem they had is that he was 6'3", and to get his head in the right place to not interfere with the airflow into the airbox, that to practically lie him down, and he was only just within regulation, because in the modern Formula One cars, you've got to have your feet behind the
wheels, isn't it? Or the
wheelbase, inside the wheelbase. Mm-hmm. So they couldn't have had anybody taller in there because he physically couldn't fit in the wheelbase of the car.
Yeah.
So, you know, he was a good driver that just didn't fit into Formula One. He did very well in America until, you know, the tragedy of him dying a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that was really true, because he did show a lot of promise in Formula One. I mean, he was seen as maybe a possible for McLaren at one point. I'm sure he was trying to do something for McLaren.
He wasn't in for long, you know. Money was tight. It's like we've said, it's not just talent that gets you into Formula One. You need money.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I hate to say it, but Lance Stroll, come on. I'm not saying that he's not good enough to drive in Formula One, because he does a good job.
Mm-hmm.
But would he be in Formula One if his dad couldn't buy a team?
Sure
that he would. There's more talented drivers out there that have disappeared because they haven't got the money. Kubica, the reason why he was in Williams is he had massive sponsorship. The sponsors have gone with him to Alfa Romeo, where he's reserve driver, and he's going to be doing DTM at the same time. Driving for BMW.
Aye.
So, you know, money's king. Money's king.
It's quite big. One of the other topics actually I was going to say was Ocon. Is coming back into Formula One. At Renault. And, there was an interesting piece in Autosport that was saying that he was so busy, it almost destroyed him last year when he was this reserve driver for Mercedes. Because he had to do all the simulator driving, and then he would do testing at the tracks and different things as well for the Grand Prix. Wow. And at one point, he was actually going for 2 days without sleep because of all the traveling commitments and all the work he was doing. And I thought that must have been quite dangerous, because if you're on a simulator and you're not driving the real car, you know, you might just manage it, you know, but you can't have someone who's, you know, completely lack of sleep going in and driving a proper Formula One car.
If you're that tired, you're not going to be representative. You're not going to be able to develop the car, because the whole thing about it is it's your brain, isn't it? I mean, these guys are fast because of the way their brain works. It's physical in one sense, but really, why are they able to take the lines and the reactions and all this kind of stuff? It's all how their brain works, isn't it? So if you're knackered, How are you going to be able to do it? You're not going to be up to speed, up to scratch.
Yeah.
So that's nuts. I mean, I remember Jackie Stewart saying the reason why he retired the way he did is he ended up having some kind of blood poisoning, wasn't it?
Was it like septicemia or something?
He was really quite ill because he was doing Can-Am in America and he was doing Formula One. And in those days, they all did loads of different types of driving.
Yeah.
He was saying that he worked out, he spent more time in the air than the pilots.
Goodness. Yeah, and all that traveling.
He was just burnt out.
Yeah, and you pick up colds and all sorts of stuff on the planes and, all the air conditioning and it always kind of churns it around. It's quite a thing.
Your body can't fight the illnesses, can it? That's just nuts, that is. That's too much. I know they get paid a lot of money, but still, it defeats the object of having that level of driver, doesn't it?
Aye. I'm just checking the comments here, and we've got lots of people coming in, listening in, which is fantastic. But I'm just waiting, because I'm going to make sure that I don't miss the comments like I did last week. So they had to be edited out.
Paranoid now, you're paranoid.
I am very paranoid.
Do you know why the Ferrari is called the SF1000 when the last one was the SF90? Bit of trivia for you.
No, what's the answer to that?
This year, they will, at some point this year, do their 1,000th race.
Wow.
So that to celebrate, they're calling it that. I think that's stupid. Because just changing the naming structure of the... It's like, you know...
Well, I was around when they did the video of Grand Prix 500. Because that was back in the late 80s. And I remember someone lent me the video of Grand Prix 500, and that was celebrating 500 Grand Prix.
And did they call the car SF500? No, they didn't. I'm saying that. I don't actually know. Did they? Did they call it 500?
I really don't know. I don't think they did.
I mean, it sounds nice, but if you've got a structure...
So that's the thing. Have you seen the going? This is more for our American viewers as well and listeners. For IndyCar, the new IndyCar looks fantastic. Actually, they've got a different instead of having this, you know, the device to save their head, you know, not the hands device, but the kind of visor,
the halo.
Yes, they've got a kind of full screen version, and it comes right the way through. I think Red Bull had tested something like that.
Well, that's what they did, and they proved it, and it worked, and it looked a hell of a lot better, and it didn't get in the way.
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't go for
because
that.
It wasn't invented by Ferrari, duh. Who invented that silly tripod? Ferrari. It looks like the day of the Triffids. You're doing it at 200 miles an hour and you come into a corner and you need to, and this thing's there.
Yeah.
You seem to try and get out of it. You've got to get out in the next second, 6 seconds or whatever it is. Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's great having that protection there, but think it through. Come on.
Yeah.
Would say it's not. It probably is. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but the IndyCar looks very good actually with it, and I think that's the thing. We're now getting a little bit more IndyCar coverage, to be fair, through Sky Sports. They were covering some of it, some of the races, but maybe even all the races actually, and I saw some of them. But it's quite interesting because maybe our viewers and our listeners will be able to guide us on this. There's quite a big difference between the top guys and the ones at the back. You know, I know that in Formula One, obviously you've got the quick cars and the slow cars, obviously the best drivers.
Similar sort of thing, I guess, is it that the investment they can put in really makes a big difference, you know.
You could almost see some of the drivers really struggling, especially if it's like half wet conditions, you know, if it's a bit ropey, but because sometimes they tend to red flag the races if it's really wet, but if it's a little bit of rain, and depending on the circuit they're on, I think it's ovals, they tend to cancel them because it's too dangerous with the speed.
I mean, come on.
It's crazy.
I always remember Mark Blundell talking to, I think it was Blundell, because he did IndyCar racing, didn't he? And he had a big accident. And he was talking to Johnny Herbert, who'd smashed his ankles up anyway. And he was talking about going 2500. Mark Blundell was saying, listen, mate, if you come off and smash into the wall there, your feet are going to come off because they're already damaged. You know, it's dangerous. They're doing 240, 250 mile an hour on some of those ovals.
Yeah.
Next to a wall. They're inches away from a wall. So I know there's a lot of sort of, shall we say, European snobbery about stuff like Indy cars and carts and all that kind of thing. In the same way, to be fair, that there's a lot of American snobbery about F1 and it being European rubbish. You know, there's that stuff going on. But it's hard. You know, when you're threading, you're doing 240 mile an hour with nowhere near as much downforce as you get on a Formula One car approaching that bend. Suddenly, that massive big banked bend isn't quite as easy as it was, you know, as you think. Yeah, it's a big bend, but at 240 mile an hour, it ain't. It's like, oh, there it is.
I know, it's quite a thing, isn't it? It's bravery to the extreme. Because especially on these ovals, because I've been to Daytona and I've seen the oval there, and that's quite a thing, you know. But the cars, oh, you would have loved it, Andrew, because you can do the tour, and they've got the, you know, the proper NASCAR sounds. And the first time I was there, you could actually drive them for $150. You could drive a NASCAR racing car around the Daytona circuit. It was like a kind of arrive and drive. Fair. Imagine the accident you could have with that. Yeah, does your travel insurance cover? Well, I was driving at 200 miles an hour and I went into the wall. You know.
Because one of the favourite things, I like that Robbie Coltrane documentary series he did, six programmes, and he was doing the V8 because he likes his big American V8 cars. He drives them around Loch Lomond, you know, where he lives. And he was in America looking at NASCAR and that style of stuff, and he got to go in one, 500 horsepower. And the thing I loved about it is that it was almost the antithesis of the technology of Formula One.
Yeah,
they're light and they're set up and they're designed for that thing. But it was a carburetor-fed V8 pumping out 500 horsepower, and it sounded wonderful. Yeah. And you can tell how much Robbie Coltrane is a proper petrol-head nut job like we are, because he's in this thing, and this woman's the instructor. And she's doing all the American stuff, good job, all this kind of thing. And she goes, can I start it with the helmet off, he said, so I can hear it better. She goes, yeah, you won't, but it won't make any difference. You go down.
I'm amazed he could fit in, because they're really hard to get into those cars.
And he wasn't quite as big as he is now, but he was pretty.
He was still.
But there's somehow they got him in there. And when he started it, he's going, he was, he was dribbling, I love this. And
it sounds incredible. Oh, it was. We were on this little truck that was pulling a kind of trailer full of seats, and we were in this kind of going round bits of the track, and then you could just see it going. And I thought, I've got to do that the next time I come. I've got to go and have a shot in a NASCAR or some kind of thing like that. It'd be amazing. But seemingly, a lot of guys go to America to do motorsport because it's an awful lot cheaper. When we were there, it was April 2018. And there was the Ferrari show, which was completely random. We didn't even know it was on in Celebration, which is just near International Drive in kind of Orlando, just on the outskirts, really. And so we thought, fantastic. We love the town of Celebration. That's the town that Disney built about 30 years ago. And now it's all privately owned and they all sold it off. But it's not like what you think. It's actually an amazing town. Every house is like something out of Desperate Housewives, you know. White picket fence and these beautiful balconies, and it's just done to immaculate. I mean, it's almost too nice to be real. You know, it has that kind of.
What's that? Ted Danson and
What was that? When
Christine thingy comedy that's on at the moment, Perfectville or Perfect Town or something like that.
I know what you mean.
She's a git, but she's gone to heaven, and it's all. It's like that,
there's some fantastic houses in the whole place, and they're really lovely people and amazing architecture, and they've actually done it really well. But you won't find a bit of litter. It's completely clean, everything's, and it's lovely and warm, and palm trees, and it's just lovely, and there's a lake in the middle that you can walk around. In fact, one of the times we were there, there was one of the women who have just had young children. They had a whole group of them doing exercises, and they had their you know, the chairs, the baby chairs, the prams, and they were running. They all ran past us on this track round the lake, and they were all doing the running with the prams and things. So it was amazing. But during that celebration, we got kind of distracted there on Orlando, but because it was the celebration. They had the Ferrari show. They had their yearly Ferrari get together, and it was amazing. They had all the Ferraris. They had the Maserati. Now, is it the Gran Turismo Cup car? And it was done in the same livery as you know, the animation Cars, you know, the kind of children, the Disney animation.
Oh, in Cars?
Yeah, they had that animation on them, this big Maserati. And they had all the Ferraris, like the FF, they had the Enzos, they had amazing stuff that came up. I mean, it was mouth-watering. I took some video of it when I went on my Facebook page a while ago. They had the new Bugatti Chiron. They had all sorts of stuff that turned up. And you got the beautiful weather American women that were all in their attire for, like, you know, sponsored by the companies.
What the hell does that mean, their attire?
You know, well, maybe not, perhaps not much of an attire. But
I don't know if you've noticed, we've had a few ants pointed a few things out, and we've got
St. Jonathan as well.
A
political mind.
Yeah, thank you.
Jonathan. Aye. Yes, he's saying that, hey, look, he says we can actually get an IndyCar because we're chunky enough and we enjoy KFC.
Fair enough.
So we can.
But I want to comment on what is woman's attire in America? Is it different to woman's attire anywhere else?
Well, put it this way, my wife said you were not...
Are we talking about Baywatch now? You're thinking of Baywatch, aren't you?
Well,
Pamela Anderson walked past.
Very, very tight, kind of leathery, kind of tight stuff. In a very hot conditions. It showed all the wrinkles, but it was. And I remember walking past, and my wife said, "You're not stopping here to speak to them." You know, it was like...
Showed all the wrinkles.
Let's just say the wrinkles in every curve. You can imagine. No, it was... I was probably moved on. You know,
the kind of American woman in mind now that waddles along while eating the KFC and the donuts.
These ladies do not eat KFC or have any wrinkles as such.
The ones where it's all a bit sort of.
They were stunningly beautiful and also very enthusiastic, and they kept wanting to give you things like, you know, leaflets, and they would come over and talk to you. And it was lovely. I always thought I should get a selfie with them, but I thought that might not go down well.
I think that might constitute being shot. Yeah. In Britain, they just complain over there. Somebody go, ch-ch-ch. Yeah, there's like that bit in Miss Congeniality where she rugby tackles a fella because he's wearing a gun.
Yeah.
And the woman says, "This is Texas. Everyone's wearing a gun." You know, that's just a great line. I love that.
So, yeah. But no, but people go to do back to the motorsport-related content. They go to America because in south of Florida, there are quite a few racetracks. So there's plenty of people have...
Sebring. Kind of,
yeah, and there's also a big rally place.
I drove through Sebring on the way back up to Orlando because we were in Weston, which is near Fort Lauderdale. Obviously, Daytona's there, but I never got to go there. Outlaws.
But Daytona's a little bit... You need to be... Keep your wits about you. It can be a little bit...
Yeah, there was a bit... we drove to Miami. We went into a Dunkin' Donuts and got some donuts. But it was the weirdest thing because I struggled to get my head around how American towns and cities are constructed, because in Britain and in Germany and in France and in all these other places, there's a centre and then there's suburban places outside of it. And you kind of know, you go to the centre, you go shopping. Nah, not over there like that, is it? You shop in a mall or a shopping bit. And then you try and find the centre of Miami, and there isn't one. There's big buildings. You're driving around going...
There'll be lots of malls. There'll be a big mall off one of the main streets near the beach.
Well, this was just like three or four shops in this little car park thing by a crossroads. All of a sudden, one of our party went into the liquor store at the end to buy something. I don't know what, I don't care. Came back and said, "We better leave now, because the guy's going to come sort you out. We're going." So we jumped in the car, unlocked all the doors, boom, off we went. As this big 4x4 with a bunch of really big guys pulled in to do whatever the hell they were going to do, we didn't want to be around.
Goodness. So you have to worry about it. I think the main bit's near the strip and near the beach is probably okay. But it can be a bit ropey.
Told off by a Baywatch lady for sitting too close to the dunes. I mean, she shouted at me about three or four times because I kept moving away and I wasn't moving far enough or something, or I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Maybe she just wanted to shoot me, I don't know. But, right, Ants asked us a question.
Oh, yeah, that's Ant has asked us a question.
Birmingham was going to do a street circuit next year with Formula E.
But yes.
If it's Yorkshire, it's Formula E by gum. But as it's Birmingham, it's Formula E, isn't it? But they have cancelled it. Do you think the UK should do more street circuits? Depends if they want to get nicked by the police.
Well, I do remember they used to do a lot more in Birmingham. They used to do a lot of racing in Birmingham.
Formula 3000, there was going to be something around the Bullring, wasn't it? Donkeys years ago.
Yeah.
Did they do it?
And then I always thought...
Did they do it? Yam should know. We need... Sorry, that's the yam.
But I always thought Edinburgh would make a fantastic circuit because you've got Princess Street, you've got the mounds,
you've got all that bit, you see, and
you've got the meadows at the back, you've got a great bit
they
there.
Could follow the route of the tourist bus that takes you around the whole of the Golden Mile. That would be amazing. Go right the way up, back down again, round the Parliament, by Arthur's Seat, back again. That would be a fantastic race, that would.
Yeah.
Because, imagine you're on top of Arthur's Seat. With binoculars,
you can see that,
watching the whole thing. It'd be like being at Monaco and getting a €14 ticket to sit on the side of a hill. Amazing.
Well, I'll try and say it wasn't me, but in days gone by when I had an Alfa Romeo saloon for a few days, my relations old car, let's just say, the Arthur's Seat was kind of seen as a special stage, and it was before now they've got speed limits and speed bumps and everything else. And
no, you see the speed bumps, that's the problem.
Yeah,
and you get
in this Alpha, it was what was the one? It was the saloon. It was done in the late 155. I had a 155, and
nice.
It was 2 liter 16 valve thing. Twin spark. Amazing car. You had one turn of the wheel to get the thing going round full lock. Just about it was incredible.
I like those.
I remember going up. I wish we'd kept
Pepper
it. Pepper
pot wheels.
Yeah, it was such a good car, and the noise coming out of that thing was
amazing.
And
they did a cloverleaf turbo, because that was the one they used in the European Touring Car Championship.
Yeah.
Touring Car Championship.
And the one I wanted my dad to get was the Silverstone. They did a 155 Silverstone. It was all red, and it was done in the touring car livery. And it was a special edition that Alfa Romeo did in the mid to late 90s. It was quite a machine, but then of course it was Gabriele Tarquini racing around in Knockhill and other places and going end over end. On a street circuit, Edinburgh, well, that bit, let's just say Arthur's Seat was, I don't think anyone's gone quicker around there than perhaps I may have done.
It's funny how things work out, because you may have picked up that I'm a slight fan of Alfa Romeo. I don't know, did you get that?
Possibly.
for people who may not have heard me go on, that they're quite good, and I like them, even the rubbish ones.
But they're good. They're even better than
Farina, and obviously they're getting a lot better. But nothing looks as good as a really nice Alfa Romeo in the correct Alfa Romeo Rosso Corsa. You know, it's slightly darker. It's darker than the Ferrari one.
See, they need to bring back the Alfa Romeo, the Alfa Sud, because that was a classic car of the 70s and 80s. Yeah,
yes.
And they need to bring something like, because they only had the small Alfa Romeo Mito, but it never really took off. It was basically a Punto in dress.
Space in it.
Yes, it wasn't brilliant. But if they could have the design of the Sud, which was so nice, because it was kind of, it wasn't plain, but it was just, it felt kind of
simplicity of form,
fragile. Yeah, it was kind of, it felt so thin and kind of, but it was so light.
They were super light in those days as well. And that boxer engine's lovely.
Yeah, something like that would be an amazing racing car.
Well, what I was going to say is that Alfas, not many four pot engines sound good to me, but the Alfas always do.
Yeah,
they have a character, the sound of them, and like, but the boxer engines also, again, they're just, everyone loves the Subaru sound because it's that pop. Well, the Alphas, they were more heavy. They were, I don't know, it sounded
a bit
like they got Pavarotti in to teach the engine how to sing.
Well, in one of their old Grand Prix cars, way back in the 30s or even earlier, they actually got a church minister who was an engineer for the...
specialist in
the organs, for the pipes in the organs.
Yeah.
And the Alfa Romeo took a lesson on how to make an exhaust pipe like an organ pipe. So you got the best sound, you see, and that's how they tuned their exhausts to make the car sound amazing.
Nothing sounds like the old straight eight Alpha 158, 159. I mean, it's a 1.5 litre engine, which towards the end of its life was pushing on 500 horsepower, supercharged in 19. I mean, this is what it was so thirsty. The only reason it didn't, well, I was about to say the only reason it didn't win more, it won every race it entered from 46 to 51. So, stupid thing to say, really. it just. Straight eight, Vittorio Jarno designed. Well, he had a hand in the design of that one. He was retiring when that one was put in, but it was Ferrari. It was a Ferrari car.
Yeah,
And Ferrari, and I can't remember the name of the engineer that actually designed it. But post World War II, when they found those seven of them in the cheese factory, they'd been dismantled and hidden in the cheese factory. They needed to be put back together. Well. Ferrari and this he actually put them back together for Alfa Romeo
because they were in the new
house. So this, you know, Alfa Romeo and Ferrari, people go, wait, why are they together? Why has the new Alfa Giulia got a Ferrari engine in it? They always had Ferrari engine. Vittorio Jarno and Enzo Ferrari did his apprenticeship with Alfa Romeo. He started as a racing driver with Alfa Romeo. He recruited the likes of I've forgotten the names, the really famous ones, father and son.
Oh, I wouldn't know.
He was best mates with the guy that had the clover leaf.
Ah, right.
There, who, Uto Binotti or something like that.
All right. Can I say, on a very quick diversion, but Alfa Romeo related, you can get a Giulia Quadrifoglio now for less than 40 grand. There are some second-hand ones on Auto Trader now in Britain for $39,995. I mean, for 510 horsepower, that's a Ferrari basically in that car, and it's one of the best cars. It's won awards every year.
And you save money because you never need a stereo. Yeah, why would you? You just turn the engine on and go.
So for the sake of what's that in dollars? That'd be $55,000, something like that.
£2.50.
Oh, you know, it would be, well, if it's £40,000, what's that? It'd be about maybe 150, about 52, 53,000, for about $1.30 at the moment. So for about $53,000, you can get yourself a Ferrari with a badge.
There's only one thing wrong with that car in any way. There's only one thing wrong with that car.
What's that? Because it's automatic. But you've got flappy paddles.
I hate them.
Oh, I love them.
God,
I love them.
You need a stick. And you need to put your clutch down, and you do that. That's what you do. That's driving.
Yeah, but then it breaks. It breaks, and then
breaks. That breaks. The computer goes bleh. What happens if the computer goes bleh? I was watching. You know, after we talked about Harry Metcalf, the guy that founded Evo magazine, and he's now retired. He was the chief of that, and he does a YouTube channel which is fantastic as a car channel called Harry's Garage. And if you watch it, you can tell he's a proper enthusiast. He's a farmer that really loves his cars, and he's made a bit of money from all this stuff, and he's got a collection of cars. And he does mad things, like the one I've just watched is him taking a 1969 Rolls-Royce that he bought for $3,000 off of eBay to the Arctic Circle.
Goodness me.
And another one he did was taking a Ferrari Testarossa to reenact something they did in Evo magazine. One of their chief writers, who's a good mate of his now, drove something. I can't remember. I think it might have been a Testarossa, it might have been something else, down to the edge of the Sahara in Morocco. So he did the same in a Testarossa, a proper old Testarossa that he's got his car. Both times they broke down a bit. Little things, you know, that you would expect. The points went a bit funny on the roller. It's minus 15 and it's having trouble. The choke's having trouble setting properly and this kind of thing. If you had a modern car and something went wrong in it, you could do nothing. It just impressed me that this is there with his toolkit, fiddling around
and fixing.
Off we go. You can't do that now. Now, it's very clever. It's amazing stuff. I want something a bit robust. That's why I was so impressed with that the big V8 that Robbie Coltrane was sat in with carbs and this kind of stuff. You can look at it and go, right, what's wrong with this? Or what can we do to improve this? It's stuff you can fix and do, and that's why it sounds better, because it's not strangled by some computer.
You know? That's the thing. Well, we're very kind of getting ready to round up the show because, would you believe it, we've been going for nearly an hour, which is fantastic.
Wow.
And it's been really, really good. And we will put this out as a podcast, and it will go out again as a live stream. We'll update the descriptions and things like that. Remember our special affiliate, because for all you gamers out there, and I know that Jonathan's listening in the background, he needs to use my affiliate link, which is on the it will be on the YouTube comments as well, for this one, or it should be, but I will put it in as well in the description, which is the CD keys. Now, I think this works as well in America too. So if you take the link there, you can get your PlayStation Plus membership, which normally costs about £50 in Britain, for just £36.87, I think it is, or thereabouts, saving over £12. And you need to have it if you're going to play online with PlayStation, and they can do the same for the kind of Xbox. They have all different offers on pretty much every kind of racing simulator platform we have, and it helps to support the show. And if you like it, you can leave some comments, like and share. It'd be great to get more and more viewers and listeners to the show. But a big thanks to you, Andrew. It's been fantastic tonight.
My pleasure. As
always. Stay on the line. Stay on the line. I'll have a chat to you in a couple of minutes there.
Cool.
But to all our listeners and viewers, thank you so much for being with us tonight on the Car Sim and Race Driver Show. And it's over to Andrew for the motto.
Well, you need to drive fast, but try not to crash.
Fantastic. It's been a pleasure to be on the show tonight with you all. Have a great week, and we'll see you soon. Bye just now. There we are.
I'm looking at the people that joined on the Podbean version.
Yeah, no, there was quite a few. There was a little bit of an echo for a wee just on and off here and there.